Vancouverites will get to experience their first Lyft Cannabis Business Conference and Expo since 2020, just before the COVID-19 restrictions chilled the trade show circuit. The Lyft Business Conference expects about 125 exhibitors and 7,000 people to attend the Vancouver event this weekend. Since cannabis was legalized just over four years ago, there have been many changes in the market here in British Columbia and across Canada. Joining me now to talk a little bit about the state of the cannabis industry is Jacqueline Pahota, Executive Director at the Retail Cannabis Council of BC. Jacqueline, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Your thoughts, first of all, just where is the cannabis industry in your mind? There's obviously a lofty predictions made, and always the case. Things have to shake out a little bit. There's still more to do, of course. It's been about just over, I guess, 4.5 years or so. Your thoughts on where the cannabis industry is in BC today?
I think with the project of legalization, I think we have established a really strong network of access for British Columbians. So legal stores in most jurisdictions across the province, although we do still have a couple of holes for access. And we have also seen, BC-based producers and processors pop up. So by that, I mean people who are, growing cannabis and, doing transformative activities with it, who are BC-based, which is really, a very important thing for this province because, we are looking at a sector that is really ours to own. So I would say that we have made good progress. But I do think that there is still a tough road to hoe ahead for our sector.
When you say there's a couple of challenges, a couple of holes, what were you talking about?
Well, in terms of access for legal cannabis, we're still, there are a significant number of folks in the Lower Mainland who still don't have storefront access in their municipality. We'll see that change in municipalities like Surrey and Richmond. We still don't have any storefront access there. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, most British Columbians have a reasonable access to legal cannabis.
There's been talk, obviously, over the last few years that there's been tremendous amount of oversupply. Speak to me a little bit about that as to how that has been shaking out over the last 4 years.
That's a really tough question, Giles, because I think that the supply picture is not reflective of the actual cannabis market or the demand from the consumer. Mm-hmm. I think that, a lot of the oversupply was the result of some stockpiling that was happening in anticipation of legalization. Mm-hmm. So we had, larger companies with really, really big vaults full of cannabis. And it's just an unfortunate fact that cannabis doesn't really work that way. You can't just save it for a rainy day. It is a product that is, more akin to a fresh tomato than it is to a can of tomato sauce. Mm-hmm. And so what we're seeing now is we're actually seeing a shift in the market towards smaller scale cultivators starting to dominate, especially, in independent retailers. I think that that's something that has really changed a lot in the last, specifically, year.
Did COVID slow down the industry's growth? I mean, what impact did COVID have? I know it's impacted many businesses, but I'm very interested in what impact it had on such a young industry.
Well, I feel we're the only COVID success story that there is. Opened, for the duration. We think about this. We opened. There are 3,900 retail stores across Canada now. So that the majority of that happened during COVID. In 2020 is when we saw the Ontario market explode. We went from having, two stores to having 1,900 stores. So, retail, on the retail side, we were able to establish that footprint even with COVID, because I think that cannabis is a product that, people are excited to access. And in terms of, the rollout of legalization, and I think the ability for us to react to maybe some of the more critical challenges that we're facing, things like maybe the tax structure, et cetera. I think COVID didn't necessarily negatively impact them, but I think that the focus for government has been elsewhere for sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, some have said, look, the government needs to give the industry greater flexibility in regards to the product that they do offer. Some have gone as far as to call the cannabis that is grown here or in Canada's corporate pot or corporate cannabis, you know. I love those names sometimes. Your thoughts in regards to, I mean, it is going to be regulated. It is regulated, much like alcohol is regulated in this country. Do you think there is going to be room for greater flexibility in regards to potency, in regards to experimentation? Or do you think because of government oversight, there's a certain standardization in regards to the product that you are offering?
Well, you know, I think that corporate weed, that's funny. I hear government weed a lot, which is like, it's funny because the government doesn't grow it. They don't sell it, but you know,
government will find will find a way to lose money on weed. I think it did the first 6 months actually, to be honest.
Oh, don't even get me started on that one. But in terms of the flexibility, you know, I am of the opinion that the current regulations around several different, you know, form factors of products. So, I mean, like kinds of consumer products, specifically edibles, are really holding back the sector. You know, consumers have an expectation around, you know, potency and effect. And then also they already have an expectation around how much those products should cost because they were buying them in an unregulated space, right? Mm-hmm. And if we don't give them the equivalent in a regulated market. So if we, for instance, like if I want to buy a 50 milligram edible, right now it is not legal for me to do that in a retail store. I can only buy a 10 milligram edible cannabis product. So if I want to buy a product that's higher dosage than that, I can either buy multiple products costing me more money as a consumer, or I can go to an unregulated source.
Hmm.
Right? And the likelihood is I'm going to go to an unregulated source.
Yeah, that makes sense. In regards to cafes, when you think of cannabis cafes, you think of Amsterdam. Do you see the public open to something like that happen, or do you think it's going to take time in regards to acceptance of cannabis cafes here in BC?
Well, they did just release a report on the public consultation that they completed, they being the provincial government, completed in, I think it was 2021. So it was a public survey, a public open call for recommendations, as well as a phone survey that they did that was randomly selected. So the results were out. The random sampling of British Columbians, 61% of them were in favor of consumption spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say that's a pretty strong approval rating, a pretty strong mandate. With the online submissions, we saw a really different number. There's only all told 34% of people who participated in the online polling were in favor. And I mean, I believe that there's a self-selecting bias in there. You know, you might mm-hmm. be really, really in favor of cannabis consumption or really, really against it and get online and, you know, fill out that survey.
Mm-hmm.
But with a random telephone poll, right, you're just a person picking up the phone, giving your opinion.
Yeah.
So I think that the public are there. I think that they are ready to, you know, I'm not sure about smoking, because that is a really big challenge. That's a hurdle, you know, because we have a long history of, you know, really tightly regulating smoking activities. But there are lots of other ways that we consume cannabis, right? We can eat it, we can drink it, we can put it on our skin. These are all ways that we could, you know, incorporate consumption, license consumption into, you know, our communities in a way that would be, A, I think, really driving tourism, which would be amazing,
mm-hmm.
And B, right, giving people a safe social space to, you know, have the experience in, which is also fabulous.
Yeah, Jacqueline, thank you so much for your time. And once again, I want to remind our listeners, the LIFT Business Conference, the Cannabis Business Conference, is this weekend here in Vancouver, the first one that'll be that we've had since COVID. So congratulations to you and all the best to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.